Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. We exalt you and magnify you. Lord, we're asking God now, Lord, that you would give us just ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. And so, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, please turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 9. 1 through 9. And so let me get the screen ready for us, and we're going to start our study right now. I've entitled this evening's message, The Fathers Fell Asleep. The Fathers Fell Asleep. Now, Peter is disclosing to us and conveying to us in this chapter that the prophets of old, who they prophesied the second coming of Christ, they prophesied the first coming of Christ, they prophesied of end times, they explained that things that happened in the past will repeat itself. But here's the thing: when Jesus showed up on the scene, the fathers were all fallen asleep. They missed it. They did not see the Lord Jesus when he came into this world. You see, they thought that he was going to come and rule and reign, have an army and be a king on this earth. No, they had it wrong. Jesus first came as a suffering servant. He came to die and to shed his blood for mankind, so that we would have eternal life through the blood of Jesus, and by faith that we would receive him and believe on the death, burial, and resurrection. He came for that purpose, and the fathers fell asleep. They missed it. And so we're going to see how Peter conveys and discloses and basically tells us the story of what happened during this time. And let me just say this. Nothing's changed in 2,000 years. I truly believe that there are still people sleeping today. They don't know what time it is. Well, I'm here to let you know, saints of God, the time is running short. Jesus is about to return. And when he does return, he's going to take us out, the born-again church, wash in the blood, fill with the Holy Spirit of promise. He's going to remove his bride from this earth, and the wrath of God will be poured out. Oh, that's right. The wrath of God will be poured out. You see, my friends, if you're reading your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, how does it all end? Everything ends in judgment. Judgment. Why? Because God is a just God. It's not, you know, a lot of people have a misconception of who Jesus is. Oh, that's not fair, man. He's not fair. No, he don't need to be fair. He's just. He's a just God. He justifies everything according to what's already written. The Bible says that the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. And so Jesus came in the volume of the book. Jesus came to fulfill prophecy. And when Jesus went away to be with his Father, the Bible says he's coming back again. But see, even today's church has fallen asleep. They don't see. They cannot connect the dots. Why? Because they're caught up in their own agenda. They're caught up with their own ministries. And they're not looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of their faith. But for the remnant, and there's a small remnant around the world, are looking to Jesus. We're looking for his coming. How many of you at home are waiting? Can't wait for his coming. Praise God. Well, let's get into this Bible study. I can't wait. And let's see what happens in this story that Peter wrote to us that we would adhere to, that we would be built up in our faith, that we would believe every jot and tittle, everything that was spoken, that we believe that these things are still yet to come to pass. And I'm here to tell you, my friends, that when it happens, we're going to be in glory, but yet the wrath of God will be poured out, because we're not appointed unto wrath, but appointed unto salvation. Praise God. Praise God. So let's go back here and let's read verses 1 through 9. And here we go. Verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Verse 3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Verse 5, for this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water. Verse 6, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. This is talking about Noah's day. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire. Are you catching this, saints? Fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, that's the grace of God. That's the mercy of God, is that God is long-suffering. He's patient. He wants to save as many as he can until he has to make the curtain call, take the church home, and then unleash the judgment that's due, because there's a lot of wicked people that hate God. There's a lot of people in government, in the political world, in the secular world, around the world. And so, let's now read verse 1. It says, beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in which both of you, which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. You see, saints, Peter's purpose was to remind the believers that their lives ought to be characterized by wholesome thinking, meaning sincerity or purity of understanding. You see, the old philosopher Plato, which is mentioned in history, he had used this phrase to refer to pure reason, uncontaminated by the senses. Oh, that's right. The thinking and intentions of God's people must be able to stand up under scrutiny and not be led astray, saints of God, by immoral desires. Oh, that's right. I want you to see this scripture right here I found in Philippians. Philippians 4. 8 and 9. Look at this. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Why? Verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Did you catch that, saints of God? Did you catch that? Now, Paul not only wrote to the Philippians, he also wrote to the Corinthians. And in Corinthians 1:15-58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always, say that with me at home, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Did you catch that, saints? It's not in vain in the Lord. Everything that we do, it counts. God takes count of everything. And we're written in books in heaven. Now, look what James also said in James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Did you catch that? Did you catch that, saints? You see, whatever comes from above comes the Father of lights, which is pure and holy. Everything that comes from the earth, it's corrupt. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. Our nature's fallen. This is why we need to be saved. This is why we need the Holy Spirit to help us with our shortcomings. Are we going to live a perfect life? No. But we want to live a life striving toward perfection. That means daily confessing our sins, asking God to cleanse us, to help us, to wash us. Our soul and spirit is saved, but this flesh is not saved. The flesh eventually will go back to the ground. But the new body that God has promised us will live forever. Can I get an amen? Amen. So now, let's move on to verse 2 in chapter 3 of 2 Peter. Look at this. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, the way to maintain wholesome thinking is to remember and understand this scripture. This is why Bible study is important. This is why you need to be plugged in. This is why we need more than just an hour and a half on a Sunday. You need to be involved with Christians that love God, that will share with one another scriptures and ask questions that sometimes are difficult to understand, but the Holy Spirit will bring to your understanding. You see, my friends, the holy prophets had written about the coming of the Messiah and what he would command through his apostles. Oh, that's right. And most likely, saints, this refers to the law as upheld by Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount and propagated by the apostles. You see, my friends, the Holy Spirit unified. The Holy Spirit is a unifier, not a divider. But the Holy Spirit unified the prophets and the apostles in an unchanging message of hope and truth. The prophets had written of the Messiah who would come to bring judgment. You got to remember, bring judgment and restore the kingdom. And those words had come to pass during this time. But my friends, there's a future judgment coming. Now, look what Paul wrote to the Roman church regarding this second scripture in chapter 3. In Romans 12:9, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kind. Look at this. Be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Praise God. Look at this. Verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. And listen, saints, bless those in verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Praise God. Look at this in verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Are you catching this, saints? This is what God is exhorting us to be, to have this type of behavior, to have this mindset. Look at verse 18 and 19. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place. But look at this. But rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Did you catch that, saints of God? The battle's not ours. It belongs to the Lord. You see, saints, the apostle had spoken and written that Jesus, the Messiah, would return to bring judgment. And thus, believers should live expectantly, knowing that those words will also come to pass. Praise God. Praise God. So let's move on now to verse 3 in 2 Peter chapter 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking what? According to their own lust. According to their own lust. Wow. You see, saints, we, along with the first century believers, ought to be prepared for anything. Why? Because we have been warned what to watch for and how to live. Praise God. And Peter wrote that in the last days, there will be scoffers. Oh, that's right. They will mock you. They will ridicule you. They'll try to basically tell you that the Bible is not for today. It's only of the old world. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I hope you know that. You see, my friends, the last days began with Christ's resurrection and will continue until his return, when he will set up his kingdom, the millennial kingdom, and judge all of humanity. You see, my friends, Jesus and the apostles warned that during that interim, including the time period we live in, saints of God, scoffers will laugh at the truth. Oh, that's right. They'll mock us. They'll laugh at us. They'll say, yeah, right. I'm glad you found religion, but that's not for me. You see, Paul wrote in other epistles regarding the last days. Let's look at this one particular scripture found in 1 Timothy 4:1 through 2. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, meaning the times we live in now, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Wow! Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Wow! Wow! Man, I'm telling you. Now, he goes on to say in the next epistle, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, look at this. But know this, say that with me at home. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Look at this. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. And look at this in verse 8 and 9. Now, as James and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Wow, saints. Wow. You see, once again, Peter was referring to false teachers who deny Jesus Christ and thereby deny his second coming. These false teachers will laugh at the truth of God's word and instead do every evil thing they desire. Let me ask you this question, saints of God. In the times that we live in now, it's almost like what we just read and 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's like reading the headlines of today. Because it is lawlessness. Every ungodly thing we just read is taking place right now. Right now, saints. We need to pray for our nation because it's falling by the wayside. Everything is out of order. The weather's out of order. The political world's out of order. The mindset of the believers and unbelievers, some of the believers are out of order. Oh yeah, why? Because they lost focus. A lot of them don't think that Jesus is coming in this lifetime. I'm here to let you know. Everything is converging now. Everything that we see is converging, saints of God. And we are living in those last days. You see, my friends, Peter called the believers to remember the scriptures and to live to please God. But the false teachers will scoff at the scriptures and will only live to please themselves and their sinful desires, no differently than people today. You see, my friends, ironically, the very presence of these men who scoffed at the prophecy was itself fulfillment of prophecy. Oh, that's right. Because we just read that it would be like that, scoffers in the last days. It's fulfilling prophecy. Praise God. And there you go, right on time. If you hear it behind me, there's a siren going on. It never fails. That's a sign of urgency that we need to get right before God. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Let's move on now. Praise God. To verse 4 in 2 Peter chapter 3. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Once again, doubting the prophecies, doubting the things of God. You see, my friends, the false teachers scoffing focus on Christ's second coming. And Jesus had promised that he would come back. But many years had passed and nothing had happened. And so we need to look at this. Let's look at the book of Mark here. In Mark 13:24, look at this. But in those days, what days? The days we live in now, after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall and the powers in heaven will be shaken. This is a future event, saints of God. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. This is a promise. He's going to gather us. But saints, the scoffers base their argument on the fact that everything has remained exactly the same since the world was first created. Wow. Wow. But the Word of God has something to say about that, doesn't it? Let's go here. Look at this. I always read this when we close, but I'm reading it right now. And Paul wrote to the Thessalonica church. He wrote to the Thessalonians and said this, but I don't want you, say this with me at home, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Praise God. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Say this with me at home. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You see, my friends, many first century Christians, praise God, they didn't catch that. I want you to read that one more time. They didn't catch that. But I'm here to let you know that this is a true saying, saints of God. Praise God. We know that we are to comfort one another one another with these words. Praise God. You see, many of them, the first century saints, believed that Jesus would come in their lifetime. And when Christians began to die without experience the Lord's return, some began to doubt. I get it. We get it. And these were prime saints of God, targets for the false teachers who pointed out that perhaps it was all a lie and Christ was never going to return again. You see, the false teachers argued that ever since creation, the world has continued in a natural order, a system of cause and effect. They did not believe that God would intervene or allow anything out of the ordinary, such as miracles, to occur. Wow. Wow. Therefore, saints of God, they scoffed at teachings about the second coming and that the Lord would return at the end of the world. And so, let's move on now to verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at this. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Wow. Wow, my friends. This was the day of Noah. You see, saints, what these scoffers were forgetting in their argument that the world had remained unchanged since creation was, and that God made the heavens. Well, my friends, the creation disproves their all things continue argument. Why? Because the creation, my friends, was basically of the earth, and it imposed the change, praise God, on the formless void. Oh, I got proof right up here. Look at this. In Genesis 1:1-2, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Did you catch that, saints? You see, the very reason the world was continuing on in a stable, predictable pattern was because God, in His grace, had created it in that way. Praise God. And the Bible further tells us who created the heavens and the earth. A lot of you probably didn't know this, but it was Jesus. He created all things. And I got proof right here. Look at this. In Colossians. I need you to catch this in Colossians. Look at this. In Colossians 1:16-18. Look at this. For by Him. Who's Him? Jesus. All things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have what? Preeminence. Preeminence. Praise God. You see, saints, this stability should not be taken for granted. The false teachers deliberately forgot that God also had destroyed the evil world with a mighty, mighty flood. Wow, wow. So, let's move on now to verse 7. We looked at 5 and 6. Now we're looking at verse 7 in 2 Peter chapter 3. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Wow. Wow. You see, saints, as God destroyed the earth before, He also commanded that the heavens and the earth will be consumed by fire on the day of judgment. In Noah's day, the earth was judged by water. At the second coming, it will be judged by fire. Oh, yes, a consuming fire. And we have scriptural evidence regarding that. Look at what Isaiah wrote. Isaiah 66:15. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots, like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword, the Lord will judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. What? That's right. When we are out of the way and judgment finally comes to this earth, all the wicked and unbelieving will be destroyed by fire. Jesus will destroy them all by himself. You got to remember, he first came to this world as a suffering servant. But when he comes back the second time, he's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. He's going to be the Alpha and the Omega. Power is going to be given to him. And he will judge and rule and reign. And he will pour out wrath on the unbelievers. They need to repent. Right now is the day to repent. If you're hearing my voice, those of you who have never repented, it's time to repent and be saved. The Bible says, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart, for today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you need to give your heart to Christ. Today is the day. We're not promised tomorrow. We get one day at a time. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here. We have today. So if you're listening today and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the day. Today is the day. Do not click off. Do not turn this off. Give your heart to Jesus. Hallelujah. I have some more scripture to back this up. Look at this. In Malachi 4, 1 through 3, look at this. And the Word of God reads, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. They will leave them neither root nor branch. Wow, look at this. Verse 2 and 3. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. Come on, somebody give God a shout of praise here. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Wow. Wow, saints of God. Look what else I found. In Revelation 19, that's the end of the Bible. Then the beast who was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worship his image. Look at this. These two were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Now, look at this last portion right here. In Revelation, let's finish this off. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. You see, if the fire didn't get you, the sword of Jesus Christ will get you if you're not saved at that time. Wow. Wow. Now look at this. In Revelation 20, 10 through 15, and it reads in verse 10, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the frost, look at this, and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Look at this. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from those whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. This is so fearful, my friends, if you've never given your heart to Christ. Look at this, verse 13. The sea gave up the dead, meaning people who perished in storms at sea. The sea gave up the dead, and death and Hades delivered up the dead. These were people that died and went to hell. Hell's only a holding place. It's like when you get arrested, there's a holding tank before you are basically assigned to jail. But look at this. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast, look at this, into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Wow. Wow. Saints, judgment has already been decided. It's already been decided in the Word of God. Ungodly people will perish. It is only a matter of God's timing. Scholars have debated whether Peter was referring to a literal fiery destruction of the entire universe with new heavens and earth to follow, or to fire of the judgment. You see, Peter is the only New Testament book that says the world will actually be destroyed by fire. And the passages cited above that we just read, saints of God, refer primarily to the fire of God's judgment. If taken that way, the fire purifies the earth, burns up the Lord's enemies and the futile works of humanity, and makes the earth new for Christ's eternal reign. That's right. It's got to be burned up. I know this is harsh, but fire is a purifier, an element. It'll destroy and purify all things. You see, my friends, Peter's point was that destruction would come, and the godless, those who have not believed, will not escape. Will not escape. So, let's move on now to verse 8 and 2 Peter chapter 3. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Wow. Wow, there's revelation to that. You see, my friends, Peter had made his point that Christ would certainly return and bring judgment. But the question will be remain, why was the Lord delaying so long? Well, Peter offered two reasons. First of all, the Lord does not count time as people do. He is above all outside of the sphere of our time. God sees all of eternity past and eternity future. So indeed, to him, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord. Look what King David wrote in Psalms. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. Wow. You see, saints, God may have seemed slow to these believers as they faced persecution every day and longed to be delivered. But God is not slow. He simply does not operate according to our timetable. Praise God. I'm glad he doesn't. You know why? Because we want things right now, when God says, I'm going to do these things in my own time. Praise God. We're going to break down our last verse of scripture found in verse 9 of 2 Peter chapter 3. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering. Say it with me. Long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Praise God. This is the mercy of God. This is the grace of God. You see, my friends, the second reason for the Lord being slow about his promise is to return was his patience. He does not want, saints of God, anyone to perish. So he has given more time for everyone to repent. Aren't you so blessed that he waited for you? Aren't you so blessed for some of the people that you just led to the Lord, that they got in? And maybe your parents who don't serve God, your friends and family don't serve God, your co-workers, your people in school and on the job who don't serve God, that maybe, just maybe, he may have mercy and save them too with the time that he's allowing. This is how we need to effectively pray. Pray for the day that God gives us. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here. We only get one day at a time. So each day that God has given you and me, use it for His glory. Pray. Say, Lord, today, my aunt, my uncle, my mom, my dad, my grandparents, whoever they are, save them today, God. Save them, God. Cry out. Ask God to save them. God is faithful. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed for me. Praise God. And He wants as many saints of God, as many people that will come and there's a saving knowledge in faith toward Him. God is not slow at all. Rather, according to His timetable, He's been exceedingly patient, giving people time to turn to Him. Love is the reason, saints of God, that He delays the destruction of the world. Some have attempted to make this verse mean that ultimately everyone will be saved, but that's not the case. Nowhere does Scripture teach universal salvation. Oh no. This verse means that God, in His great compassion, does not desire that anyone should perish, referring to eternal destruction. He wants every person, saints of God, to turn to Him and trust Him. God is loving, but He also executes perfect judgment. He knows the ones that will not turn to Him, and He has to judge. His perfect love causes Him to be merciful to those who recognize their sin and turn back to Him. But He cannot ignore those who willfully sin. Praise God. You see, my friends, wicked people die both physically and spiritually. God takes no joy in their deaths. He would prefer that they turn to Him and have eternal life. Oh yes, that's His desire. But He has given us free will. However, the promise of judgment and destruction show that God knows that many will not choose to follow Him. They won't. And so, my friends, I'm here to let you know that soon and very soon, Jesus is about to appear. And we're almost out of here. How many of you can honestly say, I prepared to meet the King? My friends, listen. Listen to me, my friends. We need to understand that time is running out. We need to understand that everything that was prophesied, we're seeing it today. We're seeing Matthew 24 played out. We're seeing what Zechariah has said. We're seeing all these things. But my question is, are you ready to meet the King? Well, listen, I want to give you that opportunity. I'm going to ask all the Amazing Grace family that's logged in to pray with me, to pray for you. And maybe you're logged on for the second time, and you're never giving your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, God is calling you. God is saying, give up now. Surrender your life to the Lord Jesus and watch Him do the miraculous in your life. If that's you, bow your heart and your head and repeat this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to You that I'm a sinner. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me, and the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask You now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor You and to follow You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise. Somebody just got saved. Listen, if you got saved, you just gave your heart to Christ. Down below is our Amazing Grace banner. Our website is there. Log on. Reach out to us. Let us know if you're giving your heart to Christ. We want to put a Bible in your hand. We want to point you to a good church that will teach and preach the unadulterated Word of God. And we hope that you will grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friends, another just great big giant shout out. As you can see down below, many of you continue to support our ministry. And we are so blessed and so very thankful that you haven't given up on us, that you still bless us monetarily. So as you can see below, donations are deeply appreciated. And so, my friends, I'm looking forward to seeing you all this Sunday at 10 o'clock at 5305 beautiful Bonita, California on Sweetwater Road. 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. And so I'm going to send out our benediction, and it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we say goodnight to you. God bless you. And we look forward to seeing you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Take care and God bless you. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah.